Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. He sort of put me on the spot to introduce him, so not sure what I'm going to say. I arrived in last night after about 26 hours flying, so I am refreshed, praise the Lord. Had a good trip. As Matt said, it's lovely to be here anyway. We've been here, I think this is my third time, and feels like family. We sing the same songs and you just walk in and just feel at home, and you're very welcoming and loving church, and so we just love the spirit that you carry, and we love your pastors. We've spent a bit of time with them and they're a blessing, and we sort of had a bit of a similar journey. We have 5 children, they have 4 children, and our oldest child is 26, married daughter. And our baby is 17, and I think you met our son last year who's 24, just 25 yesterday. So our kids, and we have one with a disability, so we've seen a few things, and but it's just a blessing to come here to America, and we pray for America a lot. We really have your nation on our heart, so we spend a lot of time praying for USA and of course our nation. And just a little bit about Australia. It was prophesied about 400 years ago by a sailor that went around the area of Australia in the islands, that Australia would be the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we speak over our nation, that our nation is the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. And we're seeing little pockets of revival break out even right now as I speak in our nation. So we're really excited about that. It's about 2 hours of north of where we live. There's a church that's been having revival since the beginning of the year, actually. Every night they've had they're up to their 70th night. And we haven't actually been there, but we know that the people are starting to come in from the nations to that revival. And we have a dear friend who lives in that area, and she's telling us about this revival. But the exciting thing is that she's visited when she goes past that church, and she said she's never been a soul winner, but she's always been an encourager of people. But since she's been under that spirit of revival, she's been starting to really win souls to the Lord. So she's just so excited. And she stays in motels when she travels, and she's been winning the motel owners to the Lord. She just sends us texts and says, "I just won another one to the Lord." So praise God. So there's revival. And we also have some friends in an indigenous town that's like way out in the outback, and they had revival going last year, where the town has about 1,200 people, I think, and they've seen like 170 souls come to the Lord in a couple of months. And they're from indigenous tribal area, where about 50% of the population is indigenous. So they're building a new church, and we're going to go out there and open it. So that's all exciting. So we're seeing this revival breaking out in different places. So that's exciting. I wasn't going to talk about that. But just introducing Dale, we had a prophet from America that came through about a year and a half ago. And, you know, he had some meetings, and he did have a prophecy just a quick little word over Dale. And I don't think we almost hardly heard it because there was so much going on in the meeting. But he said to us, "You've carried the flame of revival and you've kept it alive, even though it's been difficult. You've held that flame." And that's what he spoke over Dale. And I had a vision from the Lord about that Dale was holding this flame like a candle of revival. But I saw him holding two other flames, and one was love and one was unity. And so I believe that, you know, the anointing is caught as much as taught. So I believe that you'll receive something from the Spirit of what he's saying this morning as much as what he actually says, that he's carrying love, unity and revival. And to have revival, we must have love. We won't have revival without love and without letting go of the barriers and the denominational boundaries and things like that. And we must have love that overwhelms those things. And we must work together as the body of Christ, not just in our separate little camps, but we must join together, because that's how revival's going to happen. So, you know, there's the thing that Jesus said to his disciples, is that he said that they would all be offended. He said to the 12, he said, "You will all be offended. Every one of you will be offended." And And Peter said, no, I won't be offended. I will not be offended. Nothing will offend me. I'll die for you, Jesus. And what happened is they all became offended at what happened, because they expected something different. And Peter denied Jesus. He lied, which is what goes with offense, is lying. He lied and said, no, I never knew him. He did it three times. You know, so the thing that we need to guard against, if we're going to have love, we're going to have unity, we're going to have revival, we're going to see souls come in, we need to guard against that spirit of offense, because that's what the devil is releasing. And Jesus said in the last days, many will be offended. And we want to be among the ones that carry love and not offense. You know, offense is what the devil's releasing in the earth today, because that's the spirit that will counteract revival. But we must be releasing love. We must be ready to forgive, quick to forgive. We must work together with others in the body and forget about all the petty little doctrinal differences and things like that. And it's love and unity that's going to see that end time revival that God is going to release on the earth. It's going to happen. Amen. So just receive from what he's got to say. He's going to talk about unity and in the body, and just some things that we've seen happen. And he carries that spirit of unity. So just receive from that. Amen. Do you want me to pray? So let's just pray. Father God, we just thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for your precious son, Jesus, that you sent for us. We honor you today, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We receive from your Holy Spirit today the words that you would speak to us, Father. Father, let there be an anointing, let there be an impartation, Lord. And Father, we just receive from what your Spirit would say, Lord. We listen to your Holy Spirit this morning. We're teachable, Father. We're unoffendable, Father. We determine that we'll walk in love, Lord, and we'll be carriers of revival in these last days. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, wonderful. Praise God. Well, it's so good to be here. I could have just let Ruth go. She was just, that was good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's just, it's a joy to be in Good News Church, and love you guys. And we always, just as we just catch up with Pastors Matt and Susie and then walk in here, we just feel at home. So, it's just wonderful when you're around family. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Good things are happening. Amen. And I just love that last song. You know, we were singing there. It was just, you know, who loves him? Who's in love? Amen. Is, you know, he's the best. There's no one else like Jesus. Amen. And love came down from heaven for you and I. Amen. In the form of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, don't we love our nation? Amen. Love your nation. Got to have a rule to have a love for our nation, don't we? And so as Ruth said, I was asked Matt, you know, what, you know, he would like me to minister on while I was coming over here. And you know, as pastors, we generally, you know, whatever's on your heart, whatever God's speaking to you. And Matt came back and says, you know, well, how about your revelation of unity? And I said, oh, that's just really interesting, because, you know, I've already given my notes to the ICFM conference, because I'm speaking there, and they want to know what you're speaking on like 6 weeks before, and I sometimes don't even know what I'm speaking on, you know, 5 minutes before the service, let alone, you know. So praise God. So I really believe, you know, what I've got here today is, you know, right for this point of time and such a time as this. Amen. So just receive and praise God. So I've called this the supernatural power of unity to change a city. But you know, to change a city, we need to have to be able to change a home, to be able to change a business, you know, to change a family. You know, we need love and unity in every part of our life. Amen. And we need to see communities change. And I just love your vision. Seeing you've had your vision up here. I think it was here last time. But, you know, to really impact a community, to change a community. And so it's what it's all about, isn't it? You're a community of believers connected. Amen. And then I see you, I guess this is your statement of faith, or you know what you believe in, your core values. Yeah. And so one of your common values there is unity. So it's love, you know. And to reach your purpose, whatever purpose you have, whether it's purpose in your business or, you know, just even purpose in family, you need to be unified. And you're not going to reach your purpose unless there's unity. And there's such a powerful force. And so if we want to change situations, circumstances, we have to be unified together. Amen. So, but I really want to touch on today is the unity in unity with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know, when we're in unity together with Him, we're a powerful force that cannot be, you know, dismissed at all. Amen. So, I'm going to show you a little video clip about what's happened in our lives in the last year. Just in a little while, but just a bit of background. Ruth and I, like Matt said, we live on the Gold Coast. We've been there for 16, 17 years now. And got a picture of the Gold Coast. I think I have one there. So this is where Matt and Susie just, you know, they come and work in Australia when they come and minister. So this is the place they go to. So just to let you know that, you know, they're not just, you know, having a good time when they come. So praise the Lord. So this is our city, the Gold Coast. It's a city of 500,000 people. And it's a long city along the ocean, and it's just the best beaches in Australia. So it's a real tourist mecca of Australia. And so it's like Matt said, it's not an easy city in that it's long, you know. And so in terms of ministry and churches and pastors getting together, you know, we cover about 80 miles up along on the beach there. So a big city, you know, in terms of Australia, it's a big city because we're not a large country in terms of population. It's the sixth largest city in Australia. So you've got, you know, Sydney and Melbourne, and then you've got places like Brisbane and Perth, and then the Gold Coast is one of the largest regional cities and the sixth biggest city in Australia. So I just really got a revelation a number of years ago that if we're going to really impact our city and change our city, then, you know, we need to work within our city. And so as ministers in our city, even though we have different doctrines, we've been working together and praying together, and, you know, I just really got this thing about starting things together. And we even did a Bible college together with another church, and they weren't quite the same as us, but you know, they were Pentecostals, and but we did this Bible college that we both believed in, and so it was really successful for a number of years. And then we, of course, we've got some friends of ours, pastors, and then that had a church just down the road, and that we have now merged our churches together. But before that, we had our youth groups that they were joined together. So we're working together in the city, and we're always looking at ways we can actually do that in our city and to be unified. And back in 2012, we had our mayoral elections, you know, and so our local council is probably, you know, it's quite probably a little bit different, you know, from maybe you guys over here with your situation. It's similar, but a little bit different. There's probably a bigger infrastructure. They have a lot more money, of course. They've got a huge budget. And so our mayor and councils, they work full time there. So they really it's a major thing to, you know, be impacting your city through your mayor. So in 2012, we had our elections, and we had one of our friends who's a Christian going to be mayor, or going as a candidate for mayor. And so we really thought this is the answer. And great guy. And he was already a councillor, but he was resigned as a councillor and then stood for mayor. Well, you know, we prayed for him, and we had him come and speak in our church and did all sorts of things. And but as it turned out, he only got, I think it was 12%. And and now since then he's come back into the council, but not as mayor. So, but the guy that actually become mayor, he was a business person, and we didn't really know much about him. As if we're going to be a part of the city and impact the city, you know, we just really felt, you know, we had to pray for him and begin to be a part of his life. And so we've, you know, over that time just had this wonderful favour with him, and we've seen him change. And he's, you know, they attend church. He doesn't, you know, his wife, you know, attends church, but he, you know, wouldn't be like, you know, full on, you know, Pentecostal, definitely not a Pentecostal person. But we've seen this wonderful change in his life as we've, you know, formed that relationship with him. So in 2015, we merged our church with another church that, so that was last year in April. So we did a relaunch of our church and, so increased our leadership team, and that whole story is just another story of how that's all come together in unity and been a powerful thing. But I want to show you this video clip. We had the mayor of the Gold Coast come and speak at our launch. And I think you guys were also on a video clip there too that you gave us, which was a great day. And so this is the mayor, if you can. And so he's not dressed in his normal suit, so don't be put off by that. He's got green clothes on. He was actually going to a surf carnival and doing a special thing there straight after our service. So, I'm sure this will impact you, what he has to say.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. And especially the ones that come from outside our city. The good Lord has absolutely turned on the Gold Coast weather again. So, you know, we are truly blessed. Today, as I sit there and my goosebumps behind my neck started when we started singing prayers. The Holy Spirit's moving and I'm sitting there. And then one after other speech, the honour that you spoke about, Pastor. And I sit there and I'm reflecting. As mayor of the city of the Gold Coast, a city that's coming onto world stage because of the Commonwealth Games, and a city that's the largest regional city in Australia, the city budget second largest in Australia, $1.2 billion, bigger than the state of Tasmania. And I'm sitting there going, Lord, and you made me the mayor, you know, and I'm just sitting there going, but you know, and when I reflect on it, there was no greater honor. I received a flag on behalf of our nation at Glasgow Games, and I was so proud on the stage to do that, right, on behalf of the state and on behalf of the city. But personally, when I come to be here to partake in the coming of the church, and I know to be here and honour the God on my personal part, this is my greatest honour, you know. So I just want to share that with you. Now, so glad to hear that there's prayer for leaders of our city, for our councillors and our mayor in our city. I'm absolutely convinced that the Lord's got his eye on, his hand on the city, the Gold Coast, and that our city is awakening. I'm absolutely convinced about that. And today I just want to share with you that the power of prayer absolutely helps us. I know the undercurrent of the negativity that's trying to trip leaders of this city are out there, the dark force. I would absolutely be burnt up without your power of prayer, and I thank you so much for that. And it does work because I'm standing here and I can see the city's progressing. And, you know, between you, me, and the lamppost, I'm not that bright, right? If the Lord is there and he's using me to be mayor of this city, it's going to have power. And with the power of prayer, they're not stopping us. We're going to get there on world stage and beyond. And a legacy for our children, we can create future long-term jobs so that the people, then the city, that our children has the opportunity to stay right here and work here so that our family value as a Christian family or any other, that our family value stays strong. Because if our family value is strong, all the other bits, the negative bits, the graffiti, the crimes and all those subside and falls away. And really, and that's what it is for all of us here. And so today, coming back, looking at the coming together of the River Church, I have to say the opportunity is probably appropriate in the way that Ruth and I were in a way should church shopping because our pastor...
Great. Isn't that good? Yes. Great. So we've just really, you know, formed a real strong relationship with our mayor. He just got re-elected last month for another 4 years. And and he's just really growing strong in the Lord. And, you know, he may not be, you know, like us, you know, in terms of Pentecostal, but he's grown to love the Lord over these last 4 years. And it's not just myself, but there's other pastors that have formed this relationship with him, and it's been a real instrumental time. It's been a powerful time. And as you can see, he just really values the power of prayer. And we had a prayer meeting in the council chambers just last year, and he said that some of the other councillors, well, one in particular, doesn't want prayer in the council meetings anymore. So we have prayer in our council meetings. I'm not sure whether you do that here, but once a month the pastors come in and open prayer in front of the councillors in the chamber there. And he said one of the councillors wants to stop that, and he said, not on my situation, you know. He said, you know, while I'm here, prayer will continue, you know. And he said, you know, you may not need prayer, but if I'm going to run this city, I need prayer. And so, isn't it just powerful? So, he's given me his personal number, along with maybe some other pastors. And he said, every time you get a word from God, you know, maybe a prophetic word, or you get something from God, I want you to tell me straight away. Isn't that good? And so I've done that a couple of times, and he's received it, and it's just been such powerful. Amen. And but I just really believe that whether it's the mayor, or you know, whether it's your principal of high school or whatever part of your city, you know, we need to be impacting it, you know. And it's a supernatural thing, you know. It's some of these things we can't do in the natural. We have to allow God to do it. And you know, part of it is having that unity of spirit. Amen. And just going to be a powerful time, you know. And God loves cities. Amen. He loves community, you know. There's nothing too difficult for God to change, you know. No city, no community, no family is too difficult for God. All need to be saved. Amen. All need to be saved. You know, I just remember, well, we all know the scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that all who believe in him, so that none will perish. Amen. And so, you know, I think of like Jonah and the city of Nineveh, and, you know, how God went out, you know, to do anything to save the city of Nineveh. And so there's so many examples in the Bible where God just loves cities, loves communities, and he's just out there for them to be saved. Amen? So he's not stopping. And so he loves the city of Augusta. Yes. Amen? Amen? Loves this city. Amen? He loves the city of Gold Coast. And nations are made up of cities, and he loves every one of them. Amen? And so we're not going to give up our cities. Amen? We're going to stand them strong. Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 36 says, it speaks about Araya, which is in the brink of the river Anon, and from that city by the river even unto Gilead, there was not one city for us. The Lord our God delivered the city unto us. Amen. And, you know, if God has brought you to Augusta, you know, he's called you to here to be a part of the city and to impact the city. Amen. And everything that our feet treads on is ours. Amen. You know, as you drive into your community, you know, you should sense that this is my community and God's given it to me. Amen. So part of our church, you know, of course, we've, you know, the Gold Coast is a huge place, but we focus on our suburb of the Broadbeach, which is right amongst those buildings there, right in the city there. And we focus on that. So that's our community. And every time I go in there, I sense this is mine. God's given it to me. Amen. And so we've got a vision that every home within Broadbeach, you know, I think there's probably a couple thousand homes there. Every home here, you know, is going to know that Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. And we're seeing our community come in. So praise God. Acts chapter 2, and I think I've spoken that here before, but Acts chapter 2 verse 16 says, "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, say God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Amen. God's pouring out his spirit. Amen. So, anybody got flesh this morning? Let me just pinch yourself. Amen. So if you've got flesh, then God's going to pour out his spirit upon you. Amen. But I really believe in these last days that God is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh right across the world. Amen. And you've probably seen things happening here. And like Ruth gave a couple of examples of what's happening in our nation. God's things are happening. Amen. There's a stirring happening. Amen. But I really sense that in the last days, you know, where it speaks about God pouring out his spirit, that it's going to be a spirit of love, real spirit of love. And we've seen some powerful revivals in the past. We've seen the healing revival. We've seen the charismatic revival. Who got saved during the charismatic revival? Anybody get saved? You probably did. Yep. No, you did. You know, so in the 70s and the early 80s. And so some of us have been impacted by those revivals. You know, of course, we've had Azusa Street. So there's been powerful revivals in the past, but I really sense in these last days is going to, you know, we're going to see another powerful revival. It's going to be a revival of love. God's agape love. Amen? And just really sense that. And the revival of love, you know, is going to take also the form of miracles, signs and wonders. Because Jesus himself, when he died on the cross, you know, in the form of love, you know, that's what he died for. He died that so that we could be healed, you know, we could have miracles, you know. So whatever thing that you have need of, you know, it will come in the form of love. Amen. You know, if somebody is sick here this morning and as you pray for them, you know, it's really the power of love that's going to save them for them. That's their compassion, isn't it? Amen. So it's God's love that touches people. Amen. And we're going to see that, I really believe. We're going to see restoration in families, amen? We're going to see, you know, we're going to see fathers and mothers, you know, being reconciled to sons and daughters and sons and daughters being restored to mothers and fathers, amen? We're going to see just wonderful things like that. And we've, you know, we've seen glimpses of it already, but I just really just know that there's a powerful move of God happening, amen? In the midst of darkness, you know, God's spirit is moving powerfully. Amen? Amen? Just don't look at the darkness. See yourselves as the light and see that outpouring of God taking place. Amen. Praise God. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 verse 13 and 14 speaks about unity. It says, "It came to pass as the trumpeters and singers." How many trumpeters here? Praise God. So we're okay. But we do have singers. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, my children, you know, don't like the way I sing sometimes, but they love my passion. Do we have any passion people here? Amen. So praise God. So, and it says here, "We're as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And then the house was filled with a cloud, even the cloud of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house." Amen. So, you know, it says there that they were one, as they were one. Amen. Powerful thing. As we come and sing as one and operate as one, then the glory of the Lord came in and be present. Amen. We need to have the glory in the church. We need to have the glory in the shopping centers. We need to have the glory in our businesses. Where we are, we need to be manifesting the presence of God. Amen. Yes. Need to have the glory of the church. Of God taking place. And you know, the glory, you know, what is it? It's the manifested presence of God in operation, isn't it? Amen. It's where his presence takes place. Amen. Where people get healed, set free, delivered. Amen. That's what is the glory. And so Jesus talked about how we can have glory in the church or have glory in our lives. And he speaks about that in John chapter 17, and verses 9 and 10, and verses 20 to 26. And so we'll look at that now. And so in this chapter, he is actually talking to the disciples. And then he goes on, and so the disciples actually represent us, because they were the believers, and now we're the believers. And he specifically prays here for unity, and then he prays for the glory. And he's praying that there'll be unity in the glory. And he wants us in unity to be able to behold his glory. That means the only way we're going to be able to behold the glory of the Lord is when there is unity. So, verse 9 says, he says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And then we go down to verse 20. So he's saying that, you know, I'm not praying for the world, I'm praying for you. Isn't that interesting? And so it's like, you know, praying for the church, that so that the church will know who they are. Amen. And when the church know who they are, then they will impact the world. Because we're it here. You know, and Jesus cannot do without us. Do you realize that? He needs us to save the world. We need him. We can't do it by ourselves, but we work together. Amen. Verse 20 says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one as you. Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me, and I have loved them as you have loved me. So if you look through those scriptures there, you see that the word one is mentioned not once, but mentioned at least three times. I think it mentioned the word once in verse 21. It says that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me. In verse 22, that they may be one just as we are one. And then verse 23, that they may be perfect in one. Interesting. So powerful when we become one. Amen. You know, I guess being married is one of the best examples, you know, when two are joined together as one. Amen. Become a powerful force. So he's praying that we may all be one. Who is the all? Not all at once, please. Who's the all? Yeah, all of us. It's us, isn't it? He's praying that we, it's not the world, it's the church, it's the believers, it's the disciples, that they may be one. And so he's saying, praying that as the Father and Jesus are one. So he's saying here that that all may be one as you, he's speaking to the Father, that you, Father, and me are one. So, you know, we have the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and they are one together. Agree? They are one. Right. They can't be separated. Do you think they have any anger between them?
No.
No. Do they have any strife?
No.
Like, so, and then he's saying that I'm praying that just as the Father, you Father and me Jesus are one, I'm praying that they would be one with us. You get this? That it's like that we all are just inseparable. That love that Jesus is, that we all come to together and be that one. Amen. You know, and as we spend time with him and his presence and with him, you know, all those other things of, you know, anger, strife, and they just need to fall off. Amen. As we become one. And that's what he's praying, that they, the church, would become one, just as we are one. Wow. Good thing for us to pray, amen? Amen. That we become one. Just imagine, the unity that the Father and Jesus have. Well, we are together in that. No powerful force. Amen. There's no better power of agreement than to be in agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father. Swear one together with him. Wow. Nothing can stop us. Amen. Nothing. Wow. So they are one. As we become in unity with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we become such a powerful force that nothing can stop us. Amen? Get that unity happening. Just get a revelation of that. Just picture that right now. Amen? That you are together with the most powerful force there ever is. That is the Father, the Creator, that created the heavens and earth, and you are in one with him. Amen? Nothing can separate you from that. Amen. So I think that the more we get a revelation of that, then the more powerful we're going to be. And so our fellowship is not just with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but our fellowship and oneness is with each other. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are his representatives here on earth. We are his body. We are Jesus here on earth today. Amen. We are him. Amen. And whether you're the big toe, the little toe, the little finger, or whatever you are still part of the body of Christ. Amen. He's the head. Amen. And we form a powerful function together. Amen. We have to work together as one. Whether we're in Augusta or the Gold Coast, we have to work together as one. It was just great to be able to, Matt sent us a text during the last week and for something to pray about and we're able to come together and pray together as a church. Yeah. And just, isn't that wonderful, right across the other side of the world, and we can be together as one. As we look back to these scriptures, verse 22, it says, so we're speaking about the glory now, so I want to see this transition. As we become one, then we're going to experience the glory. Amen? And it's not just in church on Sundays. It's wherever we are. Amen? On the streets, we can experience the glory, right? And we take it out of the church, wherever we are. We take that unity wherever we go, and we experience the glory wherever we are, the manifested presence of God. And the verse says in verse 22, and that the glory which you gave me, I have given them. So the Father gave Jesus the glory, and he has now given it to us. He needs it here on earth. It's not much good in heaven. And so the glory is in us to take to the world. It's not for us, it's to take to the world. Amen? Of course, we need it too, but it's for the world. And so Jesus gave us, the first disciples, the glory to accomplish the task of oneness. The glory is where the miracles take place. It's where the signs and wonders take place. And for the world to see the glory of God. And so the glory, as I said, is the substance. It's of God's presence. The word for glory in the original language is a word that describes weight. It's a heavy weight. And so there is a substance and weight to God's glory. The early disciples would carry their glory of oneness with each other as they walked the streets and the cities of the Middle East. Amen? And so now we take the glory in the presence of God through the streets of Augusta and the Gold Coast. Amen? So it's a powerful thing that we can do. I can take the glory into the chamber of the mayor and the council. Take the glory where I go in there. Amen? So we can take that glory wherever we go. And this glory surrounded the disciples' lives and released the supernatural works of God while they continued to walk in oneness with each other. So there's just a powerful thing. we're expecting, a mighty outpouring of God. And, we're waiting, for a move of God. But I really believe that, that waiting sometimes can, we need to stop sometimes waiting rather than, there's nothing wrong with that desire, but the greater reality is that we already possess revival. We already have the key for revival, and that key for revival is oneness, and that is already in us. It's already in us, and we just need to release it and let it out. Amen? And so unity is where there is that oneness, is when we are together with one. And now, as you can see from the scriptures, the glory brings forth the unity. And when we are unified, it brings about oneness. Amen? So, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. You can look those up, or it's coming up on the screen. And we'll just look at to verse 6 here. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so now he goes on to explain, as we just looked in those other scriptures in John, he talks about how the Father and God are one and they're all one. And so then verse 4, it says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So, if we go back to verse 3, it says there that make every effort to keep yourself unified in the Spirit, binding yourselves together in peace, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Anybody got the Message translation? I don't use it all the time, but it's good for occasions. And it says in the Message, and mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert and noticing differences, and quick at mending fences. Amen. Amen. So, it's easy to mend a fence straight away, but if you leave something, quite often the fence is torn down and you have to build a whole new one. Amen. My dad was he's now in heaven, but we were farmers and we had a sheep farm, and so he loved mending fences. That's what he loved doing, one of his favorite things. I don't know why, but anyway, he did. And but so I can really picture that he would be out there with the wire and tying and fixing up holes. We had kangaroos that would come through our fences, and emus, and you probably got, you don't have kangaroos, but you got deer, and you've experienced things like that. So my dad would be mending fences, but spiritually it's no real different. We have fences that need to be mended spiritually, don't we? Relationships that need to be done. So the thing here is to mend those fences quickly. Then in verse 6 in Message it says, you are all carried to travel on the same road, in the same direction, so stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. So, sometimes we wonder why unity doesn't just automatically happen. It's a bit like a marriage, You have to work at it, amen? So, even after 30 years, you still have to work at things, praise the Lord. Well, that's good, isn't it? The Bible, especially in the book of Acts, speaks a lot about oneness. And I just want to quickly look at some scriptures here. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 says, and they continually daily with one accord in the temple, and they broke bread from house to house and did eat with their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. If you go back, and they said that they were in one accord. And if you go over to chapter 3 in the first few verses there, there was one or two got saved. No. How many? 3,000 got saved. Wow. So in Acts chapter 5 verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles there were many signs and wonders wrought among the people of God, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. In Acts chapter 8, verse 6, and the people were with all with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which they did. Another situation, there were the 5,000 got saved, and it spoke about they're all being one accord. So you can see here, people got saved, miracles happen when they're all in one accord. Now, I know you guys are in unity here, but, you know, we can all go stronger in unity, amen? We can come stronger together as one, you know, as with the more we pray together, work together, lift each other up, build each other up, we become stronger as one. We become a powerful force that we cannot be reckoned with, cannot be dismissed, amen? And so as we can then see the salvations in a greater dimension, see miracles take place, and we can impact the city, amen? Psalm 133. Just love this psalm. Anybody else love it or just me? Praise God. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, that's male and female, okay, to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, and they went down the skirts of his garments. Now, I know somebody's got a beard here because it was mentioned during the offering. Praise God. Ah, there we go. But they had long beards, you know, they came right down here. Amen. So, and it says, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. So verses 2 and 3 describe the unity, what it's like, and it compares it to oil and dew running down. And David speaks about it being good and pleasant, and so he's saying that when we're in unity, that's always good and it's always pleasant, and so just the powerful things. I'm just going to read something out here. It says, you know, the thought of oil coming down our body, you know, it's not the ideal thing, but this oil, you know, was mixed with spices that it gave a sweet aroma. And so that's what the anointing is. It is a sweet, savouring aroma. And in this case, it was really only preserved in the Old Testament, you know, reserved for special occasions with the high priest. And just a very anointing time with the high priest. And so you can see here, this anointing oil came down the beard from the top. It came from the head, which represents Jesus Christ. The anointing flows down from the head. It flows down from Jesus Christ and it comes down the whole body. It would have even came down to the toenail. Amen. So whatever part of the body that you are, as we walk together in unity, that oil, that anointing is in you and me. Amen. It's in the whole body of Christ as we work together as one. And so this picture that he's describing here, David describing here, he's saying that this unity comes from Him, Jesus Christ, His Son, and has come down by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, and the originator of this is Him. Amen? So that the whole body encompasses the unity and anointing. Bless the Lord. Is this helping you this morning?
Amen.
I hope it is. I'm going to read that scripture later, I think. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. So good to see so many people in church today. Amen. Yeah. I get, you know, just disappointed when people, you know, are not in church. But we've got a list now. Ruth's compiling this list of excuses for not coming to church. It's getting longer, you know. So on the Gold Coast, you know, we've got other distractions, beaches and things like that, but we grew up, you know, Ruth and I, well, especially Ruth, you know, her dad was an Anglican minister, and so, you know, just grew up in the church, just loving the church. You know, we, as you know, when we got married and had, and our kids would never miss a service, you know, they'd be, you know, if we didn't, there wasn't children's church, they'd be on the floor, you know, listening, and so church is just a part of your life, amen?
Yeah.
And it needs to be, and so... But these days, you know, deception is trying to creep into the body of Christ that we don't need the Sunday church.
Yeah.
You know, we can watch it on home. You know, but we need the body. We need to be part of the local body. We need to come together as one, you know. If you can't get it on Sunday morning, but be here on Wednesday night. Be a part of the body of Christ. You need to be part of it. Amen. And so verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Wow, we need to be coming together more in these last days, don't we? We need each other. And it says that you need to come together. It's not just the pastor that needs to be exhorting you, but everyone should be exhorting each other. We all need to be lifting each other, encouraging each other up, building each other up in the Spirit. Amen? And, you know, whether you're the person that, you know, thinks that, you know, I'm nothing important, well, you have a important role to play building each other up. Amen? So we are to assemble together. We are not to forsake the assembling together. We are the assembly. Amen? You know, we're not a gathering, okay? We don't just gather together. We assemble together. It's a powerful thing that we do together, you know. We're not the local, you know, club down the road, you know. We're not the football club or the, you know, the baseball club, you know. We're a powerful force that come and assemble together as one in the body of Christ. Amen? So, Romans chapter 12 verse 5 says that, talks about the body. And it speaks about it as the human body. Each part gets its meaning from the whole body as a whole, not the other way around. And the body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as part of the body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much. Amen? So since we find ourselves fashioned in all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts of the body of Christ, you know, we need to go ahead and be part of what we are made to do. And that's to function as part of the body of Christ. We belong to each other. And so we need to stick together and work together as one. Amen? Yeah. Amen. I'm just going to finish off with a number of points how to build unity together. Amen? Just some practical things. Amen? It's good sometimes to talk about spiritual things, but I want to talk about some practical things with some scriptures. Building unity, amen, building unity in this local body, building unity in the body of Christ in Augusta, building unity. It's got to start here, eh? It's got to start in our families, amen. But we also need to recognize that there's a larger body of Christ and we're all part together as one. Okay, no divisions. The Bible speaks about not having any divisions. And, you know, I'm really one, you know, I'm going to a ministers' conference next week, and I'm really one for getting rid of the competitive spirit. And, you know, sometimes you go to ministers' conferences and there seems to be that competition between churches. My church is bigger than yours, and, you know, they talk about numbers, and you know, it's not about that.
Right.
You know, it's about the kingdom. It's not about our little empire. It's about him and it's about his kingdom. Amen. You know, we should be excited when, you know, I get so excited when, you know, you guys are winning souls, you know, just, you know, I think, wow, you know, isn't that good? It's all about the kingdom. Amen.
Yeah.
And, we should be excited when there's a breakthrough in churches and things are happening. You know, revival's taking place somewhere else. We should be getting excited. It's all about the body of Christ. And, so it shouldn't be any, we've got to get rid of any competitive spirit. We're on the same team together. Amen?
Amen?
Same team. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10 says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Amen? And that there be no divisions among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. And I'm good. So, speaking the same thing. You're on the same team together. We're speaking. We see a community of believers strongly connected to God and each other, empowered by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to enable ministers reaching their worlds and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. Speaking the same thing together as one. Wouldn't it be great that when you come in here next Sunday morning and that's not up there, but Pastor Matt says, who can tell me what it says? without reading it. Amen. Wow, everyone's speaking the same thing. Imagine if you could all say it together, the same thing. Wow, very good. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them this cause of them which cause, mark them which cause divisions, offences, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." So if you hear of offences and divisions, you don't be a part of it. You avoid the situation. Amen? And if you're not part of the answer, well, go and, you know, tell your pastor and leaders so that the situation can be dealt with. Amen? It's a way of actually dealing things. So that's the first thing. We're not going to have any divisions. You know, once you've got division, there's no unity. Amen? So avoid no divisions. Next one I've got here is that we need to look to the conductor. And as you look to the conductor, there'll be a flow together. And the conductor is Jesus Christ. Amen? Right. And if you've ever been part of a choir, I was part of a choir once. When we first got married, I did everything that Ruth loved to do for a while. And I realized that singing quite wasn't working out for me. So praise the Lord. All my kids, they're just all three of them anyway. Three of our kids, just in my daughter's actually released a CD, and the others, you know, they all love singing, play instruments, and I just tell them, you know, you got my gift, and you know, I gave it to you completely, and Ruth, she kept hers, and so, you know, so anyway, praise the Lord. You know, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Okay, so. Praise the Lord. So we look to the conductor. And John chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus is the conductor, says, "By the hour cometh, and now is it, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Amen. So as we focus on Jesus, right, you know, and the other situations, if we just keep our eyes on Jesus, you know, then problems and situations, they'll just drop off. Amen? Right. Keep our eyes on him. Amen? Yeah. Keep our eyes on him. Keep our eyes on him. Isaiah chapter 60 speaks about the glory. It speaks, "Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of God is risen upon you." Amen. I believe in these last days, there's going to be lighthouse churches in the midst of darkness. Amen. And the lighthouse churches are going to the light is just going to come out in a powerful force. Amen. And so we're having that. We're seeing. So rise and shine, for the light has come. And it says, "Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." And if we jump down to verse 5, just for time, and then it says, "Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged because of the abundance of the sea." So here he's speaking about as they flow together, and thy heart they fear, but there shall be enlarging. As you flow together as one, there will be an enlarging. Amen? So we look to the conductor and we flow together as one. There will be an enlarging. Amen? There's unity that comes with increase. Amen? Okay. So just looking at some things that to build unity, things that we can do. And, you know, one of the things, other things that we need to communicate with each other. You know, especially in the body of Christ, you know. We need to communicate each other. Just encourage one another. Build each other up. And, you know, in these days, there's different ways of doing it. But, you know, whether it's phone, texting. But just encourage each other. Build each other up. You know, it's amazing, you know. You know, how many times when I've done this and somebody says, "You just gave me this message just at the right time, the right place." Amen. And so just honor. Just do that. And you'll be just, it builds unity, it builds increase in the body in the local church. Amen? Honor one another. Think highly of one another. Is that a good thing to do?
Yeah.
Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, be of kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. So we honor each other. We lift each other. We've got honor as one of our core values of church. And so it's just, you know, we've come from a bit of an old school thinking that, you know, it was only like the pastors and the senior ministers that got honored. But you know, everybody in the church is just as important as you and I, Matt. Yeah, amen. Right. Everyone is just as important. Amen. No one is less important, and everyone in the church needs to be honored. Everyone. Bible says that all men be honored. Amen. So there needs to be an honoring. And so then I've taken this out to the community where we make a point of really honoring all the pastors and leaders and honoring other churches in the city. You know, and I really encourage our church to do that, you know, and not to speak negatively of any other ministry or church. You know, even if that somebody's done something wrong, they're still part of the body of Christ. We still honor them and speak highly of them. Amen? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. So they speak saying, those that you even think should be less important, why don't you honor them more? Wow, that's a new thing, eh? So anyway, so then he goes and talks about the body. And he says in verse 25 that there be no schisms. You know what schisms are? Divisions, basically, in the body. But that the members should have care for one another. Amen. And when one member suffers, then all members suffer with it, you know. Yeah. You just had an incident last weekend, you know. And so you're out there caring and, you know, just giving your, sacrificing your time just to, in prayer and other things, you know. And that's what is part of the body, just be there for each other. So, speaking good things over the body. I remember, who knows, Billy Brim. Everyone know Billy Brim? A few of you have known Billy Brim. You know, she speaks on the television with Gloria Copeland. And back in 2003, we had Billy Brim out with our church in our city. We did a citywide convention. And this is the first time that I'd sort of hosted Billy. I'd met her before, but had never hosted her in a convention as such. And have you ever, you know, picked up Billy to drive her to a convention?
No.
No, okay. So anyway, I just if you ever do, this will help you, okay? So, no one had given me any help before. It would have been quite useful. So anyway, so we picked her up from her hotel, and for those that, you know, Billy's got a daughter called Shelley, and Shelley just loves to sing, and so we're in the car, and so they just start singing, and you know, we're just having a great time, a glory time in the car on the way to the convention. And so we're driving. We had about 20 minutes to drive, and as we're driving, I just happened to mention, I said, oh, by the way, Sister Billy, you know, over here there used to be a church that, you know, you would have been sort of aware of, and it's no longer there, she said. And so she quickly stopped me in my tracks and said, is this going to be edifying? Is this going to be building up? Is this, you know, and I said, no more. So, I wasn't going to be bad or anything like that, you know, or nasty, or I'm just making an observation, just pointing something out to her. And, but I really learnt something from that, you know. I could have got offended. I could have thought, Billy, you know, this will be your last session, your first and your last. But no, I didn't get offended. I actually learned something from it. You know, it just really taught me something about the body of Christ, you know. You know, that everything that comes out of your mouth, you know, needs to be uplifting, building up. Amen? Just that we need to watch our mouth, whether it's, you know, whether it's another church or it's, you know, the person sitting across the other room or in church. We need to be lifting up, building up, and watch what comes out of our mouth. Amen? So, I'm very, you know, probably since that day, I've been very, very careful of what comes out of my mouth, that it's always building up the body of Christ. You know, I see the body of Christ being a powerful force, you know, and as we become a unified, you know, we are going to see just powerful things happen together. Amen? So, you know, we need to protect the body. You know, if anybody said anything, you know, that against, you know, your pastors, Matt and Susie, well, you know, I would say that's not them, you know. You know, I would protect them, you know. And so we need to be protecting the body, looking after the body, just the same way you look after, you know, your hands or your feet. We need to be protecting the body of Christ, amen. So we need to be speaking honorably over the body of Christ, building the body up, you know, encouraging it, amen. So whether it's here in the local church or whether it's in the city, amen, or the nation, we need to be building the body of Christ up, amen. And, you know, sometimes we don't like what other people say, you know, but, you know, we're not there to tear other people down, amen. You know, we just keep our mouths shut, amen. Praise God. I was going to finish off with just some couple other scriptures here. We need to love everyone with a pure heart. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says, 22 says, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love with the brethren, that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Amen. Love each other with a pure heart fervently. You know, and we can't do this in the natural. You know, there's some people that, you know, just are difficult to love. You know, there's no one here like that, but if you did have somebody come in, you know, you can do this supernaturally. You know, the love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's a supernatural thing. It's not a natural thing. People in the world can't do it, but you can do it because you've been deposited with the supernatural power of the love of God, and you can love anybody. Right. I said you can love anybody.
Right.
You believe that? You can love anybody. You know what I mean? And so, you know, you can love the homeless. You can love anybody. Okay? You can love those that have, you know, betrayed you. You know, Ruth and I have had people that have done things to us. You know, and, you know, sometimes it takes a while. You can't do it instantaneously, but you have the power to love them. Amen? And so here it says, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. You know, unfeigned love is not really a word that we use, and probably different, got a different word in other translation. But unfeigned love is a genuine love. It's a genuine love. It's a true love. It's a, you know, it's the agape love, really. You know, it's the God kind of love, the love that, you know, you're not going to expect a return. Amen? Yeah. You're not giving to get. You're giving to love. Yeah. Amen? And you know, we need to stop expecting perfection of others. Amen? And not everyone is as perfect as Matt and I. I'm trying. We need to just love people as they are, amen, and have that deep love for each other, not a skin love, but we need to have a deep love, amen. So, you know, and sometimes we wait for people to be changed before we're ready to really appreciate them. Remember, have you done that? You know, I'll wait till, you know, they improve, that the sin comes off their life, and then I'll be able to love them. But, you know, God's love, he reached out when we didn't deserve it, amen? And now that love that he gave us has been deposited in us, so we've got the power to love people when they haven't changed,
right.
Amen? They're still in that imperfection, and we can love them, amen? So, praise God. So, amen. So I trust that's been helpful, been encouraged this morning. And I just really, you know, just, I guess, you know, I just wanted you to get this one, number one, a revelation that that unity with the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the same unity that they have. You know, they don't have any disagreements in heaven. Amen. There's no strife in heaven. And there's a working together as one. And Jesus said that just as we are one, then I'm praying that you be one with me and the Father. And wow, what a powerful force. We can turn cities upside down. Amen. Turn communities upside down. You know, lives can be changed and touched. Amen. So, and also I just really just sense that, as you know, there's just such a powerful force. It's a supernatural force. You know, as you become more unified in this body of believers, you know, with the vision that Matt and Susie have for this community, this city, then you're going to turn this city more upside down than you already have. I know you're impacting, you know, I just really see that, that you really are, you know, a lighthouse church in this city, you know, and you're going to, you know, I just really see that, I was just, I see this even in a greater measure, you know, I just happened to bump into your mayor when I was flying here to Augusta, and I said that I was you know, ministering at Good News Church, and he said, "I know Good News Church, I know a great church." That's what he said to me, and so, but I just sense that your reputation is, you know, as you know, as a ministry is you know, is going to get stronger and stronger. You know, it's because it's the love and it's the life of God that's here. Amen. And it's going to be flowing out in a stronger measure in the days to come. Amen. You know, things say, you know, the darkness gets stronger, but the light gets even more powerful. And I just sort of see that, and you know, you're just going to be known, you know, through the nation. Amen. Just really see that. Guys.
Amen. Receive that.
Yeah. So that's number one. But yeah, you know, I just really see that you're going to be, you know, as you become more unified, you're also going to be more, you know, influential in the city, and you know, and as you that unity grows in the city, it's getting going to be stronger and stronger. Amen. You know, the masters of this, the city is known throughout the world because of golf. You know, let it be known throughout the world because of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Wow. So, amen. Because Jesus is our master. Amen. Amen. So I just sort of see those three things, that as the unity builds, you know, in the body of Christ, in this city, you're able to really turn this city upside down for Jesus Christ. Amen. So,
amen.
Praise God. Glory to God. So, why don't we stand and can we just hold hands together? Is that okay? You allowed to hold hands in this church?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, cool. Glory to God. And so, just see if you can touch somebody, you know, right across the... I'm just going to pray. And if anybody wants individual prayer after the service, and Ruth are happy to pray for it, but I just really wanted to pray is if we can sort of just make sure everyone's connected somehow. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Jesus. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your message of unity. And I thank you, Jesus, that you prayed that we would all be one. And so, Father, we declare this morning that everyone here in Good News Church, whether they're here today or, Father, that they're not here today, we declare, Father, that everyone that's part of Good News Church, Father, is one today, Lord. One in you, Lord. One. We declare oneness, Lord. And Father, we declare that we are one together with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Lord. We are inseparable. We are Jesus here today. Oh, and so Father, we thank you that we are your body here on earth. We are your body here in Augusta, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for that. And so Father, I just thank you, Lord, that for the spirit of unity, Lord, Father, we, as it says in Ephesians chapter 3, we endeavor to keep the spirit of unity, Lord. Father, we chase after unity, Lord. Father, we run down unity, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are unified together as one, Lord, in the spirit, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Nothing's going to hinder us, Lord. We declare no divisions, Lord, no spirit of strife, nothing, Lord. We are one flowing together as one. There's a powerful flowing together of your spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, I just thank you, Lord, through this, Father. We thank you, Father, for signs and miracles, Lord, taking place. We thank you, Father, for the glory, Lord. You said that when there was oneness, Lord, that the glory of the Lord will be present, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you for the glory, that the glory is in this place, Lord, that the glory is in every home, Lord. Every home, Lord, as we walk into each other's home, we sense the glory of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's glory in our workplaces, Lord. Glory in our businesses. Glory in the schools, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's glory wherever we go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your manifested presence. So, Father, just as there was oneness in the book of Acts, and the thousands were saved, Lord, we thank you, Father. We too experience that with your glory. We thank you, Father, for salvations. Thank you, Father, for more laborers going out, for the harvest is ripe, Lord. So we thank you, Father, for salvation, salvation, salvations. Oh, we thank you, Father. So, Father, I thank you for the city of Augusta, Lord. I declare a blessing upon this city. I declare this city is unified in you, Lord. I declare that Jesus Christ is Lord over Augusta, Lord. Oh, we're flowing together as one, this city, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that this city, Father, has turned up for you. Thank you, Lord, that every home in this city knows about Jesus Christ and experiences Jesus Christ, Lord. Thank you, Lord, experiences your love, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. And so, Father, right now, I thank you. We thank you for each other, Lord. Father, those on our right and those on our left, Lord, and we thank you, Father, for each other. Father, we thank you that we would experience your love, Lord, in a greater measure, Lord, that nothing will separate us from you. Nothing will separate us from each other, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for a building up of love in this church. Thank you, Lord, for building up unity, Lord. We say this is the time, this is the hour, this is the place, Lord. We thank you, Father, for a mighty outpouring of your Spirit, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Nothing, Lord. So, Father, we thank you for your power, Lord. In Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Every home, every family here, Lord. Wow, Lord, just experience your love in a greater measure, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so, Father, we're expecting, Lord, just a great, mighty outpouring of your Spirit, Lord. We're expecting, Lord, just incredible things, Lord. Just a revival taking place in our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. Nothing can stop us, Lord, from what you have for us to do, Lord. We say this is the time, this is the hour for that to happen in Jesus' name. Amen.